Welcome to episode 40 of the Crippled System Podcast. Before we start into the random nonsense that we normally produce, I'd like to offer a congratulations to Megan and Charles Foster, who had just gotten married over on Saturday in Springfield, Illinois. Wonderful ceremony, wonderful people. Got to meet a lot of good folks down there, and I hope everything goes well for you guys in the future. And now back to our regular scheduled nonsense.
Welcome to episode 40. I'll be 40 next year. I'm sad now.
God, you're so old.
I'm so old.
I thought you already were 40.
Oh, no.
Like 45.
I'm going to Facebook and post sad things now.
What kind of person would have made it to their 40s without eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
We made sure of that.
That's valid. We fixed that problem.
This is Brian. I play Scorn and I play Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
That's all I do now.
I'm sad that I don't play Kingdom Hearts right now. I still have the original. I don't have the relaunch.
The remix came with a game. It's our recommendation for the day, too. It's the game.
You bastard.
It's also two of the DS games, so it's really three full games.
Yeah.
They're going to do a Kingdom Hearts 2.5 remix with two more of the games as well.
And I assume it'll have two as well.
Yeah,
it'll have two. That'll be awesome. Yeah. Proud mode. Kick in the nuts. Total kick in the nuts.
Hey, you know what I really
and you
enjoy?
Are...
Oh, sorry.
Let's finish our fucking intro. God damn it.
No, I break tradition.
Yeah.
My name's Nathan. And there you go.
My name is Katie. And you know what I really enjoy? Is when there's a really fantastic cutscene and somebody lets you sleep through it.
All the cutscenes in that game are fantastic.
No, but that one in particular. Like, I still remember, that's one of the best cutscenes ever.
I don't think we've actually gotten to that one yet. We've gotten to the first one where they're all standing around the table.
You just said.
I said we got to the cutscene that has all of them in it, but I don't think it's the one that you're thinking of. Because they're all standing around, but they're not saying who's awesome.
Oh. I have to double check.
Okay. But Maleficent does walk in and they all shut up.
Well, that's what it is, because they're like arguing. Yeah, no. That's the cutscene.
Mm. Then you did miss a good one.
Yeah.
You're an ass face. Is this grounds for divorce?
Let's okay. Pretty much.
I'm Jeremy Valiant, 418 on the forums, and I play Rhett and Legion, and Andy.
I'm
left.
Andy.
So
I'm Andy.
He is taking a slight.
I'm grumpy.
Just saying. Hey, don't even.
I play trolls.
Okay.
Or listen to this podcast.
Everybody, Party Down.
Party Down, that was a great show.
Party Down was a great show. When I canceled that show, I was very sad.
I want to give a shout out to our good friend Charles Foster III, who got married yesterday.
Congratulations!
Yay, he got married.
And of the five of us at the table, four of us couldn't go, and that's because three cars all broke down last week.
Yeah.
Like literally
broke down 2.5 weeks ago, but still.
My car was fine, but I didn't go for a multitude of reasons. Although I do feel bad because I don't usually say I'm going to go to like a thing and then not go to a thing. So I was kind of bummed.
Yeah, I do want to apologize for that. That was really shitty of us to do.
Yeah. The car thing.
So we suck.
Yeah. Andy made it, though.
Andy was the only respectable person in the group.
And if you're going to have one of us show up at a wedding, Andy's the one you want to show up.
That is valid.
The other four of us would be horrible for various reasons.
Yeah. I actually hate weddings and just am grumpy the entire time. So me not being there has probably made the event better. That was my gift, not showing up.
All I have to say is you guys. Oh, anyway, this is Andy. I was in the bathroom. All I have to say is you guys missed out on a really good wedding. I mean, it was very fast, and it was done by 9.
Open bar?
Open bar.
Yeah, see, that's how was the food?
Food was...
they had cupcakes.
Some of the food was good. The noodles were horrendous. the worst freaking noodles I have ever had in my life. But otherwise, everything else was pretty good. They got their horseshoes.
Nice.
But no, it was at 3:30, and it got done right away. And the reception was immediately after that, over 10 feet away from where the wedding took place. And everything was done by 9.
Nice.
When I was thinking of going, I looked up the place, and it looked like a really sweet kind of country club kind of area place to have a.
It was awesome when they were getting married, and there was people teeing off right next to it. So you know, as they're giving their vows here. Like, are you fucking kidding me? You couldn't pause for 15 minutes from your fucking golf game to let somebody actually get married without any distractions? Oh,
Illinois is high class.
Yeah. Fuck that place.
Hey, that's what we're known for.
It's class.
Oh, class.
Class and honest people. Those two things.
It's on their bumper sticker.
Oh, my favorite one was the guy who posted a couple of episodes ago, we were ragging on Illinois, and the guy who posted, he's like, "Well, I'm from Chicago, so that's fine. I'm not actually from Illinois."
And all we could both think was, "So you're the person we're all talking about?" Because when we say Illinois, what we really mean is Chicago.
Yeah.
No, that's we're talking about all of Illinois.
Well, I know, but Chicago's
the worst of Illinois.
Yeah, screw you, Chicago guys. Listen to us, you idiots. Waste your time listening to us.
Wait, let me go. Let me just think. Yeah, fuck everyone I know from Chicago.
Yeah, take that, Ben Lang, you friendly motherfucker.
Ben Lang's a piece of crap.
Why would you guys?
I liked Ben Lang before he won Who's the Boss. Now he's all full of himself. He's like, I'm the boss, true. And he just waggles around.
He mentions it like every day on Facebook. It's getting old.
Seriously, Ben, it's sad.
He couldn't even hold on to the trophy for 30 seconds after he turned it without dropping it.
The trophy was repellent like a magnet. It's like, I cannot be with you.
He is my favorite Chicago person that I know. I will say that.
Wow. Just going to put that out there.
I am. I like Ben Lang. He's good people.
Fuck you, Felix.
No, the rest of those guys are all right.
No, those guys are all right,
but they're no Ben Lang. They're no Ben Lang.
No, Jeremy, stick with your stance. Felix is a shithole.
Yeah, take that, Tony.
I didn't say they were at... Well,
yeah, you're awful. You're all horrible. Like, Ben's the closest to a tolerable one that there is, and he smells bad, so... Dan from Chicago, that guy sucks.
I don't know if Dan listens to us. So screw that guy.
Who knows?
I know Tony and Ben do. I'm not sure if anyone else does. They probably all like that. We're not. They're too smart.
Yeah.
They're like, why would we do that?
Why would we listen to Crippled System?
I don't know. If they were smarter, they'd move out of Chicago.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, Andy, very important question. How was John's hair or lack of hair?
Exactly the way you would expect it.
Bald.
Wait, what?
Short.
John lost a bet involving the cutting off of all hair on your head.
It was a bet about the
opening
Bungles
game of the season.
It was a bet about the Bungles.
Yeah.
Oh. Well.
Yeah.
Who day? Careful, bad mouthing them right now.
Yeah.
Because they Bengals.
This is football, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
They did well against us today.
No, they didn't. Packers did horribly, is what happened. They could not score whatsoever.
Well, they were up 30-14 and at the start of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That seems like scoring.
Well, yeah. Yeah, we were doing pretty well. We probably should have made one of those fourth and inches in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's always
a good
thing.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is a lot of work.
I would have watched
Nathan,
football today, but I forgot I was playing. I forgot
when the Packers game was. I was busy doing chores and stuff and doing what my recommendation is going to be for the day. But
masturbating?
Yes, I recommend it. It's good. Prevents lots
werewolf
of health issues, such as werewolfism.
Werewolfism?
Yes, werewolfism.
Lycanthropy?
That also.
Werewolfism is a specific subset of lycanthropy.
There you go.
Hey, you can be aware of anything.
A small word reference.
That was a small world reference.
Every other turn, some werewolves are amazing.
Yeah, that's true. Alternate, yeah, small world. See, look at you making small world references now. You're welcome. What was I going to say? Oh, the point is, I was sitting down for dinner. I'm like, oh, wait a second. I turned the radio on, and the radio was like, Packers, suck it. And I just turned the radio off. I go, okay, that's all I need to be. That was good timing.
Yeah. I mean, the Patriots are having a bad year, but at least we're 3-0.
Yeah.
Just saying.
That is a bad year. Anytime the Patriots are doing well, it's a bad year for humanity in general.
Losing the playoffs like they always do lately.
Thank God.
They're barely winning the games they've won. Yeah, but today they won by a lot. But
like I said, there's a few teams that just – I'm always happy when they lose, and Patriots are one of them.
Oh, I'm always happy when they win. It makes me so joyful.
It's like you're cheering for the Yankees.
It's nothing like cheering for the Yankees. Do not equate Boston sports with New York sports,
That's
please.
True. The Yankees don't cheat. They just have the most money.
They also cheat.
Well, not proof. Provably.
Provably they cheat.
Yeah.
They dope.
Well, everybody dopes.
Everybody cheats in football.
Not everybody does.
Do.
No, who else did that?
They found at least 5 teams during the research when they called off the study because they didn't want to indict the entire NFL.
So you say.
I do say.
I need to see your sources.
There's lots of them. Go to the internet.
No, it's your responsibility as the person putting forth this factoid to back up your statement with sources. Go on.
Just say cracked. He has to believe you then.
Cracked.
Oh, there's an article on cracked. Sure. Everything cracked says it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It's 100%.
I know it's true because I read it on cracked.
Hey, speaking of which, dogs are awesome. That's an article on cracked.
Dogs?
Dogs.
Oh.
Four-legged. Dags. You like dags?
Dags.
What do we have here?
We have an Earthbreaker.
Oh, the Earthbreaker.
Well, not an actual Earthbreaker. No, right. Nobody get your hopes up.
Earthbreaker.
We have the rules for the Earthbreaker, who is really, really good.
Pretty amazing.
War Machine topic starting now.
Yeah, I was going to recommend because that was one of the flippity floop questions, and I said we could talk about that one for longer. That thing's fucking legit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you get a 4d6 to hit, ignoring stealth and elevation, or ignoring cover and elevation, knockdown gun to Durgan.
Yeah.
Caster dies.
Yeah.
You know what I don't like in the game? It's a very minor thing. I don't like D3 weapons.
Yeah, with Colossals.
It's a thing with a lot. I mean, a lot of things have it. It's not a thing I like a lot. I don't like. I'm not a random person. I don't like.
Well, but you
I'm
don't like ambulance. Ashes to Ashes and
yeah,
like chain lightning and stuff like that either.
I hate them more than this.
Yeah,
yeah. But I don't mind D3 like plus one as much. Because at least you at least two.
Two to four is
two
less
to four feels
than
less
one to three.
Yeah.
Because if it's D3, I'm like I assume one, and then I'm just depressed when I waste my time shooting it.
Yeah,
but D3 plus one I can live with. D6 I can just go fuck itself. And ashes a spell like you're casting because you have to, and you're just like here goes five focus, and I hit one.
I hit a guy.
I feel so good about that.
Yeah,
and then you roll a six, you're like ha ha.
Yeah, I win the game.
I'm a tactical genius.
Yeah. I turns out I rolled one dice for the win.
I'm amazing.
Well, nothing's worse though than rolling a six and then having nothing else nearby it.
Well, that's when you do roll a six.
Yeah, that is the best time. That's when most people roll.
My avatar turn one. Oh, I got four focus. Oh, avatar is about to charge. I get two.
Yeah, I forget who I was playing. I was playing a game recently against somebody. I was playing Rhett Infantry Machine, and they threw two Ashes to Ashes at me. They're probably playing Menoth. I don't remember. But they is there a Menoth caster can double Ashes to Ashes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a Menoth caster with a focus. Wait, yeah.
Sevi? Okay, yeah. So it's probably Sevi.
Severus is eight, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He could do it. He can't do it reliably.
Yes. But they threw one at me, and they rolled one on the deviation, and it killed one battle mage. And I was like, okay, that was fine. And then they rolled one on the other flank, and it bounced six times and just wiped out half a unit of infantry. I was like, well, that was enjoyable. Like,
no,
there's nothing I could do about it.
It was one and
my
six.
Unit was stealth, so he couldn't target me. So he throws away an infantry and four focus and then blows up half of my major strike force. That seems fair.
This is average, though. Like, you know, it's the games when on either side, it's kind of, like, tough. Like, if you're the Menoth player and you roll 1-1-1-1 on, like, four ashes of the course of the game, or flip side, if you're playing against them and they roll nothing but sixes, it's just very disheartening on either side.
Yeah. Well, it's just frustrating that, like, I don't like things when it's a single die that's that powerful. Like, it's my real problem with command checks. At least it's two dice on command checks. But, like, it just feels like a check that's, like... It can break the entire game if you command
but
check
it's a, but it's
full
a, it's
unit.
A 2D versus I don't like I mean I'm,
yeah it is at least 2D.
The bell curve is less extreme.
Atrocious.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's real. I mean, your odds in a 2D6 at least you have odds, or 1D6 you have 1D6 of anything coming up.
Yeah, I mean, depending on, like, because I suppose command 9 is a 1 in 6 of failing anyway, so that could be a single die and it would be functionally equivalent.
Yeah,
but
it
feels different.
But it's the same. I mean, at the end of the day,
but it feels different.
Yeah, it's frustrating to me. But yeah, the Earthbreaker's pretty solid. It'll be interesting to see if speed 4 holds him back at all. But they do have...
He's speed 6.
Because they have redline, in fact.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to have redline on himself all day long.
And he's got a million guns, so it
he's got a million guns.
Yeah.
It is super legit.
Yeah. It's
good. I also think it's hilarious that you can have a 50-point list, which is Gorton and three of those.
I thought you could have two of those in a... whatchamadiddle. You can actually run three of them?
Yeah, Gorton can bring three of those. Too. And it's Searforge list, so you're allowed plus one field allowance on every model.
Oh, really?
/ unit. So Gorton plus three of those is a legal Searforge list, and it gets to deploy up the extra 4 inches because it's Searforge.
And it's literally exactly points. He
it's
anything
exactly
else.
Points. It's 50 points exactly because they're 19 points each times 3 is 57, and he's jack point 7. So it's a 50-point list, Gorton, and three of those.
That's hilarious. Also, really terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't think Rhett has enough armor chewing to kill that, even with a Scion.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
You can put Strength of Granite on
you
one.
You put Strength of Granite on one of them. He's going to push you out of the zone or pull you into those things.
Yeah. Nope. And then, or then you could put Solid Ground on one of them, too, as well.
Yeah.
It's.
It would actually be annoying.
It'd be beyond annoying.
It would be a scenario monster.
Isn't
you're not
Solid Ground
right
itself?
Yeah, Solid Ground is a controller. You're thinking of Surefoot. He doesn't have Surefoot. Okay. He has Solid Ground.
That's what I was saying.
So Solid Ground would be pointless in that list because it's immune to blast, no knockdown, which they're not going to care about anyway.
Yeah.
So
well, he could be immune to blast.
He'll
effectively is anyway.
I guess he could upkeep it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty...
He's got the wall to protect them against non-reach weapon master charges like Bane Thralls and stuff like that. And
yeah.
It's funny.
The only problem with it is if he's going to be behind them, it's going to be hard for him to really utilize his feet because he's behind them.
Yeah,
it's already so 5 inches of...
Yeah.
Of,
I'm not sure you need the feet with that much beef, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he could basically go in there and just basically... Once they engage everything, is go in and then start dragging whatever's kind of behind what's already engaged
closer,
up closer.
Or the old side push to clear things out from in front of them so that they can go forward and attack the enemy.
Could you not play at the mic, please?
I was not.
So I have a question while we're focusing on something.
Sure.
So if you did to see somebody with that took three of these, how would you win?
Play scoring?
Just... I would play it. see what you could do.
Madeline, or not Madeline Cabo, Terran and ranged assassination.
Not an option in red or circle.
Sadly. Yeah, plus not a very good option against Gorton because he's defense 13, armor 19. He's friggin' hard to kill.
Yeah, he's a bastard. Like, that's the thing is, like, a lot of the things that might work against a dwarf with that high in armor, you're just like,
Yeah, whatever you do against Haley Double Stormwall, but just more so.
I mean, like an Edani list, if she's able to feed on them before they get in the zone, they can get a bunch of points, and just a gazillion Bane Knights are going to wreak havoc on those things.
Well, they can be in the zone turn one.
Because
they're Seer Forge, so they're deploying 14 inches up the table.
I suppose 14 inches.
Yeah, they're deploying 14 inches if they go second.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's a flag. There's a few zones where they can't. Yeah. I mean, I guess there's enough zones where it'd be
challenging. Gordon's only focus 5, so it's a small control area, so it's got a relatively small footprint. You hopefully don't have to kill more than one of them to clear out zones. If you do, it's a matter of trying to get around them to get to Gorton or just chewing through their armor.
Yeah.
Because honestly,
once they get engaged, they don't have a ton of attacks. I mean, they have a lot of guns, but I mean, he doesn't have the focus to like make him have all
the gazillion. He doesn't have a lot of offensive power.
Yeah, because with 5 focus, they're not doing a lot each turn. Like, they're firing their guns, but they're not boosting the hit or damage. Right. I mean,
you know, they're averaging 6 attacks each, so that's 18 attacks a turn, which is not a huge amount. I mean, it's not nothing, but yeah. At that point, it's just a matter of grinding them down.
It'd be such a miserable game.
Yes. Yes, it would be.
Like, it would be for both players.
Like I said, I played a Gorton on Gorton mirror match once, and I'd rather
worse than McBain.
By far worse than McBain. Yeah, it was like I walk forward 2 inches and put a wall in front of my caster so you can't feed on me. Well, I walk forward 2 inches and put a wall in caster. So it was me and Jim just staring at each other from 8 inches apart with walls in front of our casters because neither of us wanted to get feeded on. And then finally, one of them was like, well, fuck it. And so you feed, and it's like, well, I'm speed one. I'll feed on your army. Now your army is speed one. And it was just, it wasn't even slugs fucking. It was slugs like, it was virgin slugs who don't know how to fuck, so they're just doing like awkward fumbly foreplay and they don't know where third base is. It was horrible.
Yeah, that would be pretty miserable. Although
the best part of it, though, I will point out, the most enjoyable part of that was that he had solid ground up, so he had immune to knockdown, so I got to slam Snapjaw into a wall 5 times.
That's kind of fun.
Like, I charged him with Forge Guard and I kept getting the slams off and he wasn't knocked down, and so I kept slamming him. It was good times.
That's
he died.
I have to say that the one thing that I can say for the 3 Earthbreaker list is that I wish it on every Haley Double Stormwall player. I hope that matchup happens just every time they take that list to a tournament. That'll be fun for both of them.
Right.
They can just suck it.
Or Bart Double Galleon.
Or Bart Double Galleon.
Because a Strength of Granted Earthbreaker will have words to say to the spiny Galleon.
I mean, it has to get there, but once it gets there, it's daunting.
The thing is, I think Haley can handle those better with Double Stormwall. I think she could.
She still can't get them out of the zone.
Yeah.
But if you can't get them out of the zone, that means nobody's scoring.
Right.
And eventually, I think the Stormwalls are probably going to be able to take out those things just because the amount of focus that Haley can pump into one of them as compared to what Gorton can pump into it.
He can give one of them strength 20. He can give one of them PS 24 and 3 focus, and that's enough.
Yeah, like one of them kills one Stormwall. And yes, with Haley, one of her Stormwalls kills an Earthbreaker, but there's more Earthbreakers. Like that's the thing.
Depends how fast. He's going to be time bound for moving slow. It depends how they're lined up, because she can charge. She can have one to be bonded.
Yeah, she can charge from downtown.
One will charge in, and then she'll time bomb another one. She'll be time bombing the other one, so they'll be so far away that if she's able to stagger it, I think even being down 2 to 3.
It's just a matter of how the peace train goes down, because the Gorton player is starting with an extra colossal.
Yeah.
So if he loses one, then Haley loses one, then he loses one, then Haley loses one, he now still has a colossal.
Right.
So it's obviously not always going to play out that way, but that's the hope for the Searforge player.
Yeah. And I mean, the gun mages just aren't even in that game. They're not participating in any meaningful yeah. way.
Or instead, you just don't play that. You play Durgan with Terran, and then you just kill every caster on the planet.
Yeah.
Because you shoot whatever's blocking line of sight, and then you're knocked down with four dice to hit hits, and then your whole army shoots their caster to death.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that was the other big thing, though, is having Durgan Madhammer leading that thing, yep. and then having the new journeyman, Merc Journeyman, leading the galleon.
Yeah.
Sure.
And yeah, the two of those together.
Then that could be nasty.
Pulling in a heavy to a strength of granite Earthbreaker sounds not pleasant.
For not even that. It's all just the, yeah. The knockdown guns are a thing.
Yep.
Durgan Manhammer. That's what I was saying. Yep.
Yeah, because his feet will give four dice to hit on those guns.
Yep.
So they're going to knock your caster down.
Yep. And also the galleon is all boosted as well because he's a friendly faction.
Bring some pirates with money-shotted guns. Yep. Just blast them off the table.
Yeah, mercs are going to be real big once that guy... When is he actually
As with
released?
All dwarf things, it's better if you don't play it in Searforge.
Yep. Well, it always is. When is he actually released?
Except for that list.
The three Earthbreaker list is pretty cool.
It'd be interesting. I still don't think it's better than Gordon with one or two of them and some other things that aren't legal in Searforge, but
right.
It is a shocking... Like I said, I've always been a proponent of a Gordon Searforge list in a three-list format. Because it gets your own character restrict and it's doable. That'd be one way to do it.
Are you officially done with mercs?
Yeah, they're all gone. I don't have mercs anymore. Well, I have mercs. My 14 Vanguard list.
Right.
Yeah. No, but I mean you're officially done with mercs.
Borrow those four models.
How many Vanguards do you still need, by the way? We're only like a month and a half more machine weekend.
I need six, but that's only from three different people. Yoga Dragon, the Texans, that one... Last I heard was in he was going to get back to me, never did. Professor Lust has the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, and he's coming to your event next week.
Oh, nice.
He's actually crashing at my place in my guest bedroom, so I will beat him with rocks when he's here to make sure those get done. And so then that only leaves the one, and that guy I haven't heard from, and he hasn't responded to my PMs, so I just need to see about getting one Vanguard made
by
somebody.
I have a painted one.
Yeah. I can borrow a painted one if need be. Otherwise, there's a couple people, you know, like, I mean, I don't have a Marshall Vanguard. I'm sure Marshall would love to do one, yeah. Especially, you know, if I actually paid his fee.
Yeah.
Marshall.
Oh, Marshall.
We'll see.
He was supposed to move back here in June.
So hypothetically,
was he?
No. Yeah.
I don't think he ever was.
He said maybe in June I'll hang around.
I think Keith Kalish is that comfortable.
I don't think it is because Marshall's been to my place and he stays on my couch. He's like, man, this is amazing. I wish Keith had a couch like this.
Well, he doesn't pay anything to Keith.
That is true.
For he
is
paints
a very good
models
price point.
For Keith, and that's about it.
Yeah,
slave labor basically.
Yeah, and Keith knew this with him moving in. So,
yeah, no, that's true. I do miss Marshall though. He's good people.
Yeah.
Oh well.
There's multiple of him.
Multiple.
See, because people's a plural word.
Yes, I'm not.
Well, just the listeners couldn't hear you shaking your head.
No, I was just ignoring you.
Okay. Goddamn okay. Packers. We didn't actually. Earthbreaker. Anybody else comments inputs? What? Nothing.
He's amazing. He seems really legit.
There's theme forces in this no quarter as well.
Yeah,
did you guys
I don't like the Thagrosh one.
What?
I don't. I mean, free shredders. Shit tons of free shredders is great, but it's shit tons of free shredders that aren't on him.
It's with those.
It's
the new
beast
model.
Mistresses.
It's beast mistresses.
I don't get
but
the
you
hate
have
for the beast mistresses.
I don't have anything against the beast mistresses. I think that list is not strong.
Not even then. You have a ton of buckets. Ton of buckets are
but no
awesome.
Infantry. You're not allowed to take any infantry units.
That's fine. You're Legion. When does Legion care about infantry?
But my point is that's what makes the buckets good.
No.
Like at this point, you're every time you lose two lessers, you get a lesser back. That's what that list does.
Well, and you can get to kill opponents' models. That's legal.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that.
It's really hard to get, like I've played the bucket a lot, and it's really hard to collect many corpses unless they're playing a really heavy jam list, in which case you get to.
Yeah.
Like if you're going into them in any way, which often you are, especially in this list, because you're going to be like a million rabid shredders and stingers. Like, getting the bucket into position to pick up those corpses is really hard.
When you have multiple buckets, it really doesn't matter if you lose one either.
Well, that's true.
And you throw all of your troopers in the way so they get to feed their own bucket.
The one thing I just point out is that, like, he's got model/unit buffs that don't do a lot without the infantry to bring. So, it's of all the people to have this theme force, Thagrosh is one of the ones that doesn't support it the most.
Yeah. Like, he's got Fog of War. Like, that's really all he brings to the table in that matchup is Fog of War for that list. Yeah.
Yeah, like if this was like a
Kalis
wing hands chick lady.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, if this was an Absolonia theme force, it would be kind of crazy or anything like that.
Yeah.
Thagrosh 2
would be, well, but they're not in his battle group. So
the ones from the buckets would be.
That's true. Yeah. So
the Beastmasters Shredders can jam up in there and get in the way while Thagrosh's battle group and the buckets close forward, and then the buckets start getting fed and give more to Thagrosh to get that recycling plant going on.
So with these Thagrosh, it's legit. I don't know. I don't see it. I might be willing to try it, but I don't love it.
What about the Siege Theme Force?
That one I didn't even look at because
it's basically it's infinite juniors. Each each one comes with a trench to hide in, and all of your warjacks are a point cheaper.
Oh, all of the arcane shield.
Yep,
all of the arcane shield.
Each junior hides in a trench, has their own personal arcane shielded heavy that they send out there to do the work. You know, like a defender or something.
Oh, or hunters. How cheap do hunters get in that list? Yep,
it's hilarious.
Or I guess hunters are light, so they don't get the discount.
It's minus one on all warjacks.
All
warjacks are minus one point cost.
Yeah, siege with a million juniors hunters.
With the
that seems bad.
It's hilarious.
That's mildly terrifying.
It's a good thing we have no Signar players.
We used to, but they all the ones that we Lewis have
don't doesn't have count. Any Signar players.
We've never had any. The most Signar player-y we've had was Keith played Haley's Theme Force once with the double Storm Striders. Jordan tried out the bullshits list, and then Jeff
used to play Signar.
Jeff and Lewis, Jeff and Lewis,
and Lewis is now full on Legion, and Jeff is now full on Morvana too.
And Jeff was always about weird things like Kara Sloan and whatnot.
He did. That's true.
Jeff used to be more 50-50, but now he's like 90-10.
Yeah. Well, Morvana 2 came out, so that's the thing that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame him. Morvana 2 is baller. I would play Morvana 2. She's amazing.
Winning games is fun.
Winning games is really cool.
Yeah, it is. It's.
Not I'm really hoping they do something stupid helps. With the new Ratcaster, and she has like signs of importance or something. Then I'll play the crap out of her.
Oh my god, Katie, shut the fuck up. Seriously, let somebody else get a word in.
I can't help it. I have to chat.
Jesus. We're trying to have a conversation. You're just yammering on and on over there.
I know. I like it.
Talking about important War Machine stuff that she enjoys a lot.
It's not anything circle related, I noticed.
We were just talking about...
We've talked more about it, too.
I know. I started listening to that.
She started listening again. She stopped just picking her nose and staring into space.
I was picking at my nails, not my nose.
Oh, okay.
So, classy.
They're clean now, in case you guys are interested.
Oh, good.
Should we segue into Katie's Corner and make her talk?
Sure. Yeah, let's make her talk.
Katie's Corner.
Katie's Corner.
Okay.
Boom.
But it's not War Machine related, and I feel like you guys had a really good War Machine vibe going on. No. So I don't want to interrupt that.
No, we're good.
We're done.
Our vibes.
Yeah, we vibed. She's playing with my wedding ring.
She doesn't have hers anymore. She sold it.
She's trying to figure out how much she could pawn it for.
Pretty much.
God.
Testing the silver content.
Yesterday, 2 days ago, I don't know.
Time's confusing.
Time is confusing. Jeremy and I discussed what I would do after he died.
So she wakes up and she's like, man, I was thinking about what I would do if you died. Like, that was what she says to me when she wakes up in the morning. I'm like, crap.
And she's holding a knife.
Man, that party. They would be off the chain.
Did she ask you how would you feel if you died?
No. She was just explaining to me that she'd been lying there thinking about what she would do if I died. I was like, wow.
Was she like watching Price is Right and they had all those Final Expenses commercials?
All I'm saying is you have to plan for these kinds of events, and that's all I was doing.
That's what Alex Trebek tells me on the commercials.
Yeah.
It is hilarious when you're watching a show and you're like, oh, I'm not the target audience for this at all, am I?
So your corner is what you're going to do what you're gonna do when Jeremy dies?
No, it's not. It's just related to it. Anyway, moving on.
Related?
Really?
It's always related, darling.
When Jeremy dies.
Love you.
Anywho. It almost sounds like last words.
Right?
It's like right before he's like, you're like, okay, no, just turn away.
Yeah.
Turn away slightly.
Just close your eyes quietly. It won't hurt that bad.
No tears, only dreams. That is my favorite thing to say while stabbing somebody.
Well, I feel like there are a lot of tears in the first couple of stabbings.
No tears, only dreams now. And you just say that like while you're sliding it in real slow and, you know, you have your hand over the mouth like in
Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. Fucking up him. Fuck up him. God, I hate that guy.
God damn it.
God, I was watching that with somebody who hadn't seen it before, and Upham came on screen. I'm just like, ah, fuck you, Upham!
I know, I'm angry the whole time he's on screen.
The whole movie, I just want to beat him with rocks. Yep.
So during Katie's corner, we shut up.
Telling an anecdote.
That's true.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to talk about introducing people who are not gamers into gaming and how to do it effectively, and I don't think that we did it very effectively last night.
I wasn't there. What did you do?
Oh,
okay, anecdote. I'm going to lean back and listen.
Let me tell you. Recently I had my friend Kristen come up to visit.
That was last week.
That was a really good time. She had already played Settlers of Catan, so she was aware that there was something besides Monopoly out there. But that's all she had heard of. So she hadn't heard of, I think we played Trains, and we played Carcassonne, and we played Small World, and we played Lords of Waterdeep. So she got a lot of exposure to a lot of different things.
Did you play them in that order? That would be a decent order to play them in. Maybe no. Carcassonne before Trains, but that really feels like ramping up.
You mean Ticket to Ride, not actually Trains.
Yeah, the actual game Trains that released to Gen
Con. Yeah, I don't approve of their naming, by the way. No, I think we played Settlers, and then Trains, and then Small World, and then Lords of Waterdeep, and then Carcassonne.
Yes.
Sure, you know, a light one at the end there. Yeah. Sure.
Plus, I always lose at Carcassonne, and that's always fun for
Watching
everyone.
Katie play Carcassonne is by far one of the most enjoyable things you can do in the world.
I don't know if you guys knew this about Carcassonne, but it's actually physically possible to never draw anything that's not just a road for an entire game.
That's not true.
It is pretty true.
You're always available to draw at least one field.
Well, yes, she could farm next to those roads.
Yeah.
But it's a road, like out of 50 tiles, she'll draw 45 roads. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
It was funny, though, because Brian needed a road, and all I kept doing was drawing the road that he needed.
I finally got my road.
But anyway, so she was really easy to move into other games because she had exposure to Settlers before and like knew that there are other things out there. And so
Kristen's easy.
Yep,
okay.
Kristen is easy. And so you what you do is you start them off with like light, fun games where the rules aren't too complicated. And the next time she's here, now that she understands Lords of Waterdeep, we can move from Lords of Waterdeep to maybe like the Indiana Jones one, Fortune and Glory.
Even
or Zombicide or something.
Zombicide or even the one you guys have, nothing personal.
Or something. Which, by the way, we played again and we missed an entire step the last round.
Yeah, there's this whole end scoring phase at the end, which probably wouldn't have mattered the game we played because Nate was winning by double everyone's score.
That's not true.
Katie's, anyway, not only do you, so we're literally finished in game up. We're playing the entire game. I was ahead. Katie's behind me by 3 points. The very last thing she does is she does a thing that makes me lose four. She gains four. So she's going to win by one. Then Jeremy's, look at all these ways you're supposed to actually score. So then the score changes, and now suddenly Jeremy wins the game by 800
points. I was winning before that.
No.
We would have ended at the time we ended last time. Katie would have won.
Because I stopped her from the stealing the four respect.
But the other thing is I didn't try and move up when I should have. And then Tim, for no reason, was like, well, I don't want to be in last place, so I'm going to attack Katie. So then I can obviously get in second instead of attacking Jeremy.
His strategy was, I'm going to go for second. I'm like, I don't understand. I was like, wow.
I understand what you're doing.
That was a strategy from like turn three.
Well, okay, if it's that far. Because
last turn.
Last turn, if the choice is either attacking the person in the lead and adjusting first and second and you maintain third, or if you can attack the person in second and bump yourself up to second. But yeah.
You could
argue that improving your own stance is not morally objectable.
Right, but he might have been able to win if he had taken out Jeremy's and then moved up to Capo and then gotten to score. Like,
it's that age-old kingmaker debacle. Especially, it's an interesting situation to be in when you know you literally can't win, and then your action can determine who wins.
He might have been able to win.
I'm not saying he couldn't have been. I'm saying hypothetically there's situations you can be in where you're like,
right,
I'm in last. I can't possibly win, but my action determines whether Jeremy or Katie wins.
Right.
You
know, and that's a tough situation to be in.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big
Euro. Eurogamers usually complain about American games, saying that's a big thing in American games. It's not in Eurogames.
Eurogames have that all the time.
Well, I know, but also, in Eurogames also have the mechanic where they don't like, I don't want to go off, and I almost want to tirade a different direction. So
let's pull back for a minute.
Kristen's easy.
So then last night, we were out bowling with another accounting couple that we know. And Brian came and joined us because he was over yesterday and he wanted to go bowling and eat bowling food. And then afterwards, we were like, well, let's go back to our place and we'll play a game. And they don't play board games.
It's weird. My phone must be broken or something.
You weren't here. Oh, were you here yesterday?
Yeah.
He wasn't at the wedding. We discussed this earlier.
Oh, I didn't realize.
No, that's fascinating. Go on.
Sorry. I didn't know. I thought you went. Anyway, it's not like you called me this weekend. Moving on.
So, Nathan, how was your weekend?
We agreed I wouldn't call you when Jeremy's in town.
That's true. Valid point. We went back to our place, and we played Trains. And
Ticket to Ride.
Ticket to Ride. And Greg...
Europe, specifically.
Greg got it.
Which
but
is the correct Ticket to Ride.
It is the correct Ticket to Ride.
But Marissa did not get it.
And no.
I don't understand where I went wrong in the transition from Monopoly to actual fun board game. And Greg actually ended up winning, and so he enjoyed himself, and he thought it was fun, but Marissa came, like, in last.
But towards the end, she understood the mechanics. She didn't understand enough in the beginning how important the actual tickets were.
Well,
but by the end, she got all her routes.
No, what you didn't notice is she had 7 routes,
yeah.
And then at the end she scored 3 and didn't have any negatives.
Oh, yeah, because we forgot the other one. Yeah,
well, she like buried her 4 when no one was looking right at the end. Because she suddenly realized she was about to lose 50 points.
She got last. She didn't want her score added, but she realized she did bad. Yeah. And then Jeremy's like, no, you got last, and we're going to figure out your score, you stupid bitch. He also called her a cunt in the day. So, I mean, it was
that is 100% true.
That one actually happened.
What? He's like, welcome.
You don't drop that.
In front of her fiance who was getting married in a week. I may have done that one time.
Once. Did she stab your mom or something?
No, she just put a train down where he wanted to go.
Wow.
Arbitrarily. And he had stations left.
Everyone had yelled at each other a lot. I was not the only person who got upset.
It's Europe. You don't even have to care if people block your route.
Oh, no, you do.
Have stations.
In 5-player Europe? There were stations already everywhere that people like.
See, in America, it's a big deal. Like, somebody puts one train in that stupid little thing next to Seattle, and you want to strangle them. Yeah, you all know the spot I'm talking about too. It's a one train spot that fucks you so hard, and they don't even want that spot. They're just like, fuck you,
train.
And that's why I like Europe.
But anyway, but when you do want to make the transition, Marissa got a little late in the game, but you want to start with something light. You want to start with something that has like 5 to 10 rules that aren't very complicated.
Like Carcassonne. That's always been one of my intro ones.
Well, because I was
thinking about... Draw a tile, place a tile, put a guy.
I was thinking about playing Carcassonne, and then Jeremy brought up a really good point. It's really hard to understand farming.
I was actually going to say, just don't do farms. I have a lot of times... That's the thing that I've heard people do, and I've done it as well, to introduce people to Euro games. You play Carcassonne with thieves and knights only, just no farms.
No, that would be good.
Put a guy on the road, put a guy in the monastery. You put a guy on the road, put a guy in the monastery,
but
put a guy in the town, no farms.
I usually win the game because of farms.
It's not going to be a valid game of Carcassonne. I mean, obviously, whatever.
It's a teaching game.
Yeah, it's a great way to teach it, and then you introduce farms later. It's like, and here's a more complicated, and that way you're ramping them up into the more complicated things, then you jump into something like Ticket to Ride.
Right.
Because what is hard, and I think this was Marissa's problem last night with Ticket to Ride, was when you've never played a real game, it's really hard to understand late game scoring mechanics in a game that you have to build for from the beginning. Because like Monopoly is just like, I get a Monopoly and good things happen. Like Risk, it's like a continent me want.
Yeah.
Like in Ticket to Ride, as an example, it's like, oh man, I'm getting points. Everybody's playing Trains. We're all getting points. And then we get to the end stage and everyone else gets 70 points and I get 3. Oops.
Yeah.
What happened?
That is a little weird. So if somebody has already been exposed to some type of game, like Settlers, it's really popular out there. It's really easy to move them into a different game. You can pick from a wide variety of games. Just expose them to things because they're already going to be open to it.
Would have been very happy exposing your friend to more things last week. Just
hey,
get it?
I heard she's easy.
But if they haven't, then pick something that's simple, like Carcassonne, that has 5 to 10 rules that are really easy.
Yeah, and I like that no farmer rule.
Carcassonne with no farmer is a really good great idea. Way to introduce people to Euro games.
Yeah.
I also just want to make sure that our audience knows, actually our one Englishman knows, that's not the friend that's...
No, that's not
Pip's future ex-girlfriend.
No.
Yeah.
Although, I have to add a clause in there for Pip. Apparently, Mary is moving in with her boyfriend. And by is moving in, I mean they moved in together.
Wow, that really hurts his chances.
Isn't he in prison?
No, he's still British.
He's got
that's
the Trump
true.
Card.
Yeah.
He gets
the Trump
to fly
card.
And go, m'lady, and then boom, panties wet.
So you're just gonna have to say m'lady a little more sexily than normal.
Well, cool, blimey, I want some crisps.
That probably won't work.
Jesus. What? Is it possibly racist against British people? Is that a race?
Yeah, I don't
Speaking
know.
Speaking of accents, Swedish
accents.
Oh, accents.
We haven't had Swedish Muslim Jeremy on in a while, and I was watching Always Sunny, and they had an episode where Mac was starting to have a Swedish accent. He was trying to be a Swedish plumber, and it was, I remember, I forgot. I was like, I haven't met
because Swedish Muslim Jeremy's been on vacation for a while.
So somebody tweeted about Swedish Muslim Jeremy this week. Did you guys see that?
Yeah. Well, I think he went to the airport. He got patted down. He got sent to a room. Something.
He'll be back.
He's in Guantanamo.
He might not be the same person though.
His accent will be a little higher.
There was going to be we did record
a
game,
yeah.
A battle report.
Oh, did we really?
Yeah, with Swedish Muslim Jeremy.
Yeah, when, and a special guest opponent.
Okay. Yeah.
We didn't get the voiceover, though. We'll have to see if we can get them together to do the voiceover sometime.
Yeah, we'll have to do that.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Which two factions?
It's a special game, too.
It's a special game, too.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Exciting.
So there.
Sexy.
Yeah,
I almost knew what it was, and I stabbed myself because I realized that was part of the fun. I'm like, oh yeah, it's oops,
oh oops,
I caught on just in time.
You're so smart, Brian.
The best part about saying, "Hey, there's this thing we did a while ago," is then we have to do it.
Yeah,
but not very fast in my experience.
Yeah.
So, well, we have more time now because it's a lot less hectic with, you know. Well, at least for me, it was wedding and then War Machine weekend's coming up and all the other stupid
this weekend's
events.
Well, we got events this weekend and next weekend. They're giving away an Earthbreaker in 2 weekends.
Yeah. I'm as excited because one of the locals, apparently his mom lives like a mile away from the Doubletree. And he's like, yeah, you can just stay at my mom's place.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
like, that saves like $300. So then I can do that.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
Yeah. With the broken car thing.
Yeah.
Every penny I can save is a good penny.
Is this for War Machine Weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm staying with Ben Lang.
Nice.
So,
which is awesome. One of our locals is bringing a bunch of homebrew beer, he said, so that'll be fun.
Bring some Spotted Cow.
It'll be interesting to see how he and Jordan get along for the drive up.
I want to play a lot of board games with the folks in Fury Crew. And I want to play a lot of War Machine, but I definitely...
I have to get
into
an IKRPG game one night.
Yeah,
I have to make that happen. I'm really upset.
That is my second highest requirement.
Are we actually done with Katie's Corner?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, unless you guys had anything else you wanted to add about board games and introducing
them. There are
them.
Definitely certain games, like Settlers, you said that the Carcassonne's a good... There's another game that I was going to mention that's really good. Sorrel is a great intro game.
Well, I almost think Settlers is not a very good game to start people on.
Sorrel is,
I think, easy.
But it's so popular that people...
Yeah, it is. Like I said, my favorite intro Euro game is Carcassonne No Fields. And interesting, like you, depending on how big your, if you look at your private game collection, a lot of times you can see, I'm trying to say this. So there's two different ways a game can have additional complexity. And one of those ways is via rules that are in other games. So I'm not explaining this very well, but it can be very easy. Like if you know how to play game A, B, and C, game D can be a very daunting looking game. But in reality, you're already familiar with it because it borrows, you know, the combat from rule A and the you know the commodity
right.
mechanic from rule B or whatever, and so you already know it.
The
Whereas flip side, you have games like War of the Rings when it came out, War of the Ring is completely unique. Nothing it has in it is like any other game ever. You know, maybe like, well, you combat
you roll
D6s
yeah.
and you want them higher. But like the action mechanic, the corruption mechanic, the card, like it's very, very, very unique. But then Age of Conan comes out and it has the same action dice from War of the Rings.
Yep.
So for people who've played War of the Ring, I can be like, hey, so you've played War of the Ring. It's got this same mechanic and that same mechanic. So that's a thing you can look at even in your own personal library is games that teach each other. Like your friend, if you taught somebody Lords of Waterdeep, they are going to know how to play Agricola or Kalis, you know, because those games are super, super similar.
Yep.
And those are really complex games.
Yes.
But now they know 90% how to play them.
Right. Yeah.
And I really like Lords of Waterdeep, but I think that it is not truly an entry level game.
No.
Like you,
no.
You cannot just jump into Lords of Waterdeep as much as I like it. It's got too much going on.
I think it's a simpler game though.
It can be a first game.
It's like a second or third. It's maybe a third game.
Yes.
Because it took her about. She figured out how to play it in round 3 or 4.
Right.
She like everything started clicking for her.
Yeah. But I'm not sure she had as much fun as she did with some of the other ones we played that weekend.
But
right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's because I think the other ones, like, she figured it out pretty quickly, and then that one, she had already lost the game by the time things clicked.
I mean, when we get New Year's for ourselves, oftentimes on the same boat. I mean, if Nathan knows the game, how to play it a lot, we play it, we'll catch it on maybe by turn 2 or 3, you know, even for people who want to play, but he's showing us a much more advanced game where if you showed a new player that, they wouldn't figure it out.
There's just no way.
Like, I played a 3-hour game of Through the Ages. By hour 3, the whole game made sense, but by that point, it was just completely... I was like, the first 3 hours were just a learning session, so my next 3 hours would be fun.
Yeah, if you play Through the Ages again, you'll know what you're doing and you'll have fun.
Yeah, but if you show a new player Through the Ages first, they're never going to touch a board game again in their life. They're like, fuck you, board games. No matter, you know.
And I think that is... What? I think that a lot of people... Board games have not become as mainstream as other nerd activities for whatever reason. And so people don't have the exposure to them. It's not that they aren't open to them sometimes, but like they don't have the exposure. Like people are like, oh yeah, I know all about Marvel now because I've seen, you know, all of these movies with like random action heroes. Yeah,
tell me about Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Who? Well, no, you say I play board games. Oh, you want to play some Monopoly? Then you punch him in the face. Right. See, so you say that to me again. I'm going to murder you.
Because
your
that's
family.
The only exposure they have. Because with board games, the exposure is Monopoly, Risk, Sorry.
Well, and it's kind of like, you know, I saw a statistic that was like 90% of adults play video games now. Like 90% of adults. And that's because 80% of them played Bejeweled or Candy Crush.
Yes.
And it's like, well, that, like, it's. Yeah. Sure, I guess you're playing video games, but it's
But not. I can't just walk up to category, a random person on the street and assume that they'll know what I'm talking about when I tell them how cool XCOM is.
Right.
Like, I just can't.
Yeah, yeah, I'm playing Kingdom Hearts on this mobile.
I'm playing Kingdom Hearts. They're like, the hell?
So, my little interjection into what other games you may be helping new players get into, I think random card games help out. Like, Epic Spell Wars, The Battle Wizards, Duel at Mount Skulls Fire. Very simple game. It's pretty awesome. Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah.
Cards Against Humanity is like a whole different... That's like the
party game genre.
Yeah. And so people are more familiar with the party
game
genre.
That's just evil apples to apples, and people know apples to apples.
Yeah.
But it is a good way... I mean...
But like beans... It's a good way to Bonanza, get people... Bonanza is one of the ones I have that's like that. It's a simple card game that gets people into the concept.
Yeah.
My last thought would be also
trading, which is a big thing in Eurogames.
If you know your friend likes certain things, there's a lot of thematic board games. If you can get, you find a theme that they like in a board game, they may get pulled into it. I had a friend, Savage Keith from our local group, had some friends who didn't play much board games. He showed them Battlestar because they love Battlestar. They're not much gamers, and he's played that.
And
game.
That's not a simple game.
No,
either.
It's not. But he's played the game like 20 times in the last 2 months because they were willing to get over the hump of the learning because it was such a cool theme.
Yeah, and it's not just a trick. It's not just a hook. Because the thing is, a game with a good theme, people who are familiar with the theme will be able to more easily grasp the game mechanic of it. Like, you understand the traitor mechanic in Galactica because you understand the concept of a hidden Cylon.
Correct.
You understand the corruption counter in War of the Ring because you've read War of the Rings. You understand, you know, that it's taunting and blah, blah, blah. Like, if the fluff is well done and not just pasted on, it can really help to make a game simpler.
Correct. A well-made thematic game is critical.
Firefly.
Yeah, like Firefly.
Firefly is actually really
Firefly
awesome.
Feels like Firefly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a lot of games that don't do that. There's a lot of games that they're just
they're obviously
number crunchers, and then they just paste the theme on top. Like, there's no theme to Ra. I love Ra. That didn't have to be an Egyptian god worshiping game. It could have been anything.
The Mayan Counter game is not the
Mayan Counter. Yeah, it's just
it's a great game, but it has nothing to do with. I mean, it could be called anything.
Yeah, well, and I believe Brett Myers, our friend, his Lord of the Rings dice game, didn't they just paste the theme? Like, he designed a dice game, and they're like, yeah, it's good. We're going to make it Lord of the Rings themed. He was like, okay. Like, it had nothing to do with when he designed it. It's just, it got done at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that can be almost confusing.
Yeah. But yeah, to I think clarify a point I was trying to make earlier. Maybe I made it all right, but in my head it's still a little confusing. I was just saying, like, this is going to vary from person to person, so you'd have to kind of plan ahead for this. But recapping, like, if you teach somebody a game, if you teach somebody your friend who knows Waterdeep, you could more easily teach them Kalos or Agricola than you could teach them a game that's technically easier than Kalos or Agricola, but has more new mechanics to it.
Right.
So that's going to vary from you know, you listening at home. You should look at what you have and see if there's any common category games. Like, if you have a lot of worker placement games, or if you have a lot of trading games, like, oh, 90% of my games involve trading my commodities. I will start with Settlers of Catan instead of starting with Lords of Waterdeep because that's my only worker placement game.
Yeah. You know, I think we do good. Like, a lot of times we'll get together, and if we have new people, I might want to play a specific game, but because I know we have new people, like, this game is just not going to work today. So I don't. You have to know when not to push a certain game. You may want to play. You may have bought it. Like, I got Forging Glory at Gen Con. It was the first thing I bought at Gen Con. It was the first thing I sleeved. I didn't play it for 4 weeks after Gen Con because even though I played board games 6 times before that, it just wasn't an appropriate time for the group. I mean, I was jonesing by the end of that, but it's still, I never forced the issue. I never pushed the issue because it was not the proper game.
I want to play Fortune Glory so bad since we last
played. I want to play Zombicide so bad. We haven't played the new expansions at all yet.
You need to play Conan again.
But Brian doesn't know what he's doing. It's the same thing happening again.
Every time, like, once a year I play Conan, I'm like, that was a lot of fun. And everybody's like, yeah, we should play that again sooner so it's faster and we all know how to play it. And then a year later I go through the same thing with 3 new people.
So, Nathan, Shadows of Camelot? Nathan and Andy, Don't tell anyone else this. And shh, podcast. Everyone don't listen. But next Sunday, the 29th, I want to have a little get together. I don't want to invite really anyone outside this room. Maybe one other person. So if you're the one person, go. Oh yeah, you guys can't. Yeah. Go. You guys are going on Sunday too. I wasn't sure.
Well, we might. We have a wedding Saturday, so we'll have to play it.
You getting married?
No, the couple we had over last night.
If you can't go, that's cool. But try to let me know by Friday because I mean I'll need to get two other spots.
Sorry, I was thinking the wedding was Sunday, but if you're at it Saturday,
weddings are always on Saturday.
Chris is coming.
People
down
are doing a lot of them on Fridays nowadays because it's a lot cheaper. It's like half the cost.
Our friend Ryan is starting to play some games, too.
I'm interested, but I have to let you know.
That's fine, like I said. But no, everyone else out there, shh, don't tell anyone. It's a secret.
None of our locals listen to this anyway. They get more than enough of us on Wednesday and Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
Is Katie Corden done?
Okay, yeah. Now it's officially done. Sorry.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I found out a way that we could break the Muse Network.
How's that?
It involves you.
That's terrifying, and I'm not sure how I like this. Everyone's smiling at me.
I don't even know what breaking the network means.
John said that he will basically, this will shut down the network if we have you and Crump on the same podcast.
Oh, God. Oh, that might just shut down the universe.
Yeah.
I have plans for War Machine Weekend. I'm going to be sending out a very detailed email to various people in a couple days to make sure my plans start going. I'm making this happen.
I talk to them, and it's a great idea, but War Machine Weekend, we're going to be doing way too much shit to try to sit down, you know,
Friday afternoon,
people.
There is nothing going on.
Okay.
Friday morning is Last Chance Qualifier / the Twin Casters. So everybody's going to be in Last Chance Qualifier, or everyone who's already qualified is going to be whatever. After those tourneys are over, I mean, the afternoon is just, there's scrambles, there's nothing.
If you can arrange it, I think.
Because I looked at the schedule specifically, and we need is 2 hours, one big room, done and done.
But I want to see if any fans out there want to see a Crump Jeremy.
I don't even know what Crump and I would talk about. Like Crump and I are just like everyone else to harass us. There's like nothing there.
No, we're not talking about that. No. But for one thing, you're a hardcore Retribution player.
I am, and so is Crump.
No, Crump is not. He gave up on it.
I haven't listened to the 300s yet.
Yeah. So
as of 99, he was still playing Rat.
No.
Yeah.
No, he's out of there. Yeah, he's out. So
Crump, you're a wimp.
That would be a great topic for both of you guys to try to work out with. I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, to be fair, people also apparently wanted an hour of me alone in a room just screaming incoherently with
Paige. That is true.
I'm curious to know because John says that, this is a horrible idea. Nobody would want to hear this. I'm curious to know if people want to hear about it. If people want to see Jeremy
and Crump just together.
Jeremy and Crump.
That would be crazy. It's like people always want more Nathan rants. Like we know Nathan for years now. He rants every day constantly. It's outdated.
I'd love to hear Nate rant for an hour. I'm like, just spend an hour with me. Yeah, there's no trick to it.
Yeah.
I thought you were just constantly ranting.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, and you just like giggle in between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, sometimes it goes into repeat rants.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit.
Here's a repeat rant. So yesterday I was following Jeremy somewhere.
Oh, my God.
And I thought that Jeremy's car was right. I was really concerned because we went like across town and only at the very, after 44 turns,
there were not
the very last
turns.
Turn he uses blinker.
Oh,
but every turn
you,
before
as
then,
a good friend, after you got there, you're going to say, Jeremy, you need to have your turn signal.
Well, that's what he said to me.
But then the blinker turned on. I'm like, oh, maybe it started working. I was very concerned for him. Like, your car has a problem. You didn't use a blinker once. Yeah. You were changing lanes. The cars were flying into the ditch. The whole way. His excuse was, I was talking. I can't do two things at once. I can't talk and use a blinker.
Yeah, that's true.
Because are you mute?
No.
So you don't communicate via American Sign Language?
Well, I use my hand. I do use my hands a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, also his hands are on the wheel when he's driving.
Or do you use the turn signal by eating the lever? Because it seems to me that your hand and your mouth are unrelated to each other.
As someone who also talks with his hands a lot, I feel like you should know that that's not true.
Yeah, but he uses a turn signal.
Do you steer while you're driving? Or do you just crash into bridge embankments?
I use my knees sometimes.
Hold on, honey. I can't talk right now. I'm turning.
I'm like, man, if Nathan's my car right now, he would have had a brain. His brain would have exploded.
To be fair, we were arguing about it's nothing personal because it was personal.
It was personal.
Every time I try to negotiate with Jeremy, he's just like, no, just give me the world and I'll give you nothing. That's his negotiation.
I've negotiated with lots of other people, just not you.
Okay, so that what she's going to do after you die thing is getting closer and closer to being actually
you can see why I would
the
be
more,
terrified.
The more board games I play, the sooner that's going to happen.
Katie, you should start building a list. Like, make a giant poster and write down things that you're going to do.
Pip, bad news, it's Katie's friend is moving in list. With her boyfriend. Good news is Katie might be single soon.
Also,
Katie, how do you feel about people with British accents?
I feel good about it.
Oh, yeah. She might need a lawyer, though. So.
Depending on how much of this is
or a barrel.
Yeah, or a barrel. Or at least some help. That would be good brownie points. Help you hide the body. Probably has to earn you at least a date.
Date.
Wow. I'm just saying.
It could be a special day. You can go to the, you know, the samba.
A bridge?
No, it's a samba. I think that would be at least worth
samba.
Worth you know,
burying
a body. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to go back
to samba. I would bury a body for somebody taking me to samba. Yeah. I might be going
you
to sambas
be
in a couple
to
weeks.
To
I'm excited.
Samba.
But I'm just saying, unrelated to previous conversation, I want to go to samba.
Okay.
You know what they would do? They would have the guy bring over the skewer of chicken. They'd take a skewer and they'd take it to your grave and just throw it on the grave. There you go. That's the final fuck you. You get the chicken skewer.
You get the chicken.
We need to do that again. Because watching Nathan be passed over multiple times is the greatest moment.
But then
that.
Somebody did come back just for Nathan.
I mean, that's the thing.
With the chicken.
The flank steak guy walks past me, and then the chicken guy comes just to me. I'm like,
well,
fuck you
all. Next time we go, we're like, if you just tell our servers only bring flank steak and pineapple. Anything else is just sent away.
Yeah,
the chicken's not too bad, though.
It's fine. It's no flank steak.
I mean, the problem Nathan had is it was all the guys. And then me, Raylene, and then Nathan.
I was hanging out with the ladies.
And so he's hanging out with the ladies, and so of course we're offered chicken. Like, I don't
know. Well, to be fair, I think at one point Katie and Raylene were actually asleep while the rest of us were still eating.
Yes.
I think that actually
happened.
So
your end of the table had three people still awake eating. I had two people in a coma, and then me. And so
we were also in a coma. We were just auto eating.
Yeah.
We were all in a coma.
Oh my God. That horrible
functional.
Game of chicken with the toggle. And then finally, nobody would turn it. I flipped it to red, and Brian's just like, oh, thank God.
It was a good moment.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to do something to prepare myself for next time because I was not physically and mentally prepared when we went last time.
And the dangerous thing is that the tapas in front of it is really
it's
good.
It's also really
too.
Good.
Like, you want to eat all those like olives and cheeses and the soups and the stews and the figs. They're all delicious, but that's all room that's being taken up that isn't flank steak and pineapple.
Right.
That's true. You're gonna have to look for another Groupon for it.
The pineapple was magical.
Pineapple
I still
was
like pineapple.
Magical.
Yeah. But I'll eat that pineapple nonstop.
Yeah.
We talk about, I remember we got like complaints after that episode. People were like, you talked about food for 45 minutes, you goddamn idiots. That was like 20% of the, I was like, I don't know, 20 of the posts were all like, too
those
much food
people
talk.
Haven't been to Sambas.
Hey, we should next time Bill French is in town, we should take him to Samba so you can rage about that.
What?
Rage about?
No, he's like, you put some A1 sauce onto his.
Oh, like, oh my God.
Oh, God.
I will say, As a mini recommendation aside, try just putting a little Worcestershire sauce on your steak. It's a little bit of flavor, and it doesn't drown it like A1 does.
I can't wait to make you go on a car trip with me, Nathan, by the way.
What about ketchup?
I'm going to fucking kill you.
Oh, Brian, I found another song that you need.
Oh, nice.
I know it. And
I thought about you the other day, and as far as car trips, because I set up a Pandora playlist that's nothing but stand-up comedy and Weird Al songs, basically. It's just all a comedy thing. And it play like two of his polkas in a row, and I'm like, man, I wonder how long a mix CD of every Weird Al polka song would be. And then I thought, I just need to ask Brian.
Yeah. I owned him. Yeah.
It won't fill up an entire CD. I actually had to put like all the every it was like a polka, another song, polka, another song, polka, another song.
What's great about those polka songs, too, is that like they're a little slice of life. Like Polka Power came out, I'm like, oh, these songs all came out the same year. Like,
If you put them in, I specifically didn't put them in order because I would have felt older. I would have, like, as a CD went on, I would have realized how old I was. So I made them. I spread out the CD, spread out the polkas on purpose.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, bowling night is tomorrow night, 7 sharp.
Yeah. 7 sharp.
Bowling games start at 7. You can practice 10 till 7.
Did you guys actually come up with a team name?
Crippled System.
You guys are using Crippled System?
Totally.
They wouldn't let us use Fish Vagina.
Yeah.
No, I was suggesting Crippled Taco. You guys were talking about fish tacos.
Yeah. I feel like that's
crippled
really more
taco.
Insulting to me than anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think...
Isn't our name like Lumpy Meat?
No, ours is Cooler Meat.
Cooler
Who
Meat.
Who is your fourth?
Huh?
Who is your fourth?
Troll Jeff, who's, by the way, a super ringer. We went and bowled like a 170.
That's super rigged. That's for us. That's how pathetic we are. That we're 170.
You weren't supposed to give any scores.
No. That's a super ringer. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, Jeremy and his.
So I hope everyone likes bowling, because for the next 13 podcasts, bowling.
Oh my God. But I think Crippled Taco would be great, because can you imagine the logo is just like one soft shell taco broken in half?
You don't break a soft shell taco.
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck? Was that on purpose?
That was not on purpose. No, I meant to say hard shell taco, but I only get soft shell tacos, so the term of hard shell taco is foreign to me.
I like corn tortillas more than flour tortillas, and you can't. Yeah, corn tortillas.
I
want
to go to Taco Bell.
It's like
we all need to sometime. I don't know if you guys have been there, but Takira Guadalajara on Park Street, right by where it hits Fish Hatch. I've probably mentioned it to some of you in the past.
Yeah, you've mentioned it.
It's amazing. Yeah.
I don't like authentic.
It's tiny inside, but like a nice, get like a giant chimichanga with all the stuff for like $5.
I don't like authentic.
It's pretty authentic.
I don't like authentic.
Chimichanga is nothing but deep fried meat. Why are you yucking?
There's something
it?
Else in there.
No, it's literally it's a deep fried burrito with no veggies. They just fill this burrito with meat and then deep fry it.
There's cheese in there.
No, not in it.
First of all, if you were trying to say, hold on, there's cheese in there, Brian may go crazy. Wait. I didn't explain.
No, I'm saying there's
again.
More than just meat. There's
I thought it was like meat and onions and like vegetables.
No, there's no veggies in there. It's basically just meat, and there's like some sauce in there and whatnot. Yeah. But there's no, they don't put like veggies and shit inside of chimichanga.
No,
it normally comes with veggies and sour cream on top. But obviously, you can just get it as it is. But
interesting.
It's basically sour cream's just a deep fried nothing. It's a deep fried meat burrito.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's it's legit. Also, their guacamole is good.
We made guacamole again at home, and it did not taste like an onion.
How many onions did you put in it?
None. I put some scallions in.
Yeah. Okay.
And some apples and some pineapples. And
there are always apples in it. I always sneak them in. That's
crab
how you know
apples.
Good.
Son of a bitch.
There's a lot of apples in that pumpkin thing you made.
Apples and everything. They're good for you.
So are we going to go into...
Flippity bloop.
Before we do that...
Yeah.
Do we have time for that?
We have time for that.
We have 36 minutes.
We got 15 minutes of flippity bloop. We got 10 minutes of recommendations, and then we got 5 minutes of preparing ourselves, and then we have Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Like literally 5 minutes is like calm, relaxing,
find your center,
try to cry in the corner, cry it all out. And then a lot of masturbation.
Just sad. Like I somebody was mentioning that normally they like to watch the show later, and that way they can fast forward through the commercials. Yeah. But the last few episodes they've watched live because they had the commercials to compose themselves before more horrible happened.
I don't understand why you guys enjoy this show.
Because it's amazing.
It just sounds like sad and then more sad. And then
it's great story. It's great storytelling.
It has become a tragedy, and tragedies are sad, but that doesn't mean they're not good.
It is a great... You need to watch it. You have to watch it.
I don't want
to
watch anything.
And there's amazing, hilarious things throughout the series. It's just, you know... All right. Fortunately, when you start out as a meth drug dealer, there's not a happy ending to that route.
No, not generally.
All right. Let's start with...
Hit
Stephanie
it.
Crumble.
Go.
Probably my favorite one that I just read right now. Would the three versions of Butcher make a good reboot of the Multiplicity movie?
I would watch that movie.
Which one likes pizza?
Clearly Butcher 2.
She talks like Peppy Steve.
That's clearly Butcher 2. When I hear Butcher 2's voice in my head, it's Steve now.
She talks like Peppy Steve.
She talks like Peppy Steve. I have a wallet. I can drive a car.
Butcher 2 is confused. Number 4?
I've never seen this movie.
Oh, what?
My brain, it just hurts.
Oh my God.
There's so many times she says that and it makes me sad. Oh.
This one especially.
This one, she still hasn't seen Fifth Element.
Well, that's fine. I'm okay with Fifth Element, but I'm not okay with Multiplicity.
No, I'm not okay with either of those.
Like Halloween scary movies.
Oh, we are having a Halloween party at our place. It's going to happen, so you know, be aware
of
that.
We'll have a party one night, we'll watch movies another night.
Okay.
If you're watching The Ascent this year, if I have to sit down there and hold you two to... in the room.
Yes. And wait, we'll pause and say, what do you think about the movie so far? And then you'll watch 5 more seconds of it and say, how about now?
No, and fucking Speed Racer.
That's not a Halloween movie.
you can pick a holiday and make them watch Speed Racer. I've seen
Speed Racer.
Yeah, yes. I need to watch Speed Racer. I need to just one afternoon just watch Speed Racer.
Yes.
You don't do anything at work. Just do it at work. Just throw it on the side screen. Just you watch Hulu already at work.
I like it when
Alex came over and he was like, it's still in the cellophane.
Yeah, that happened.
Hi, Travis. We need to call Travis out.
Hi.
Jedi?
So the answer is yes.
Yes. That would be amazing.
That would be awesome.
Grumble. Boomhollers and Kador, should I pair them with Irisk or the Butcher?
Irisk got the no knockdown, which is handy.
Yeah, only if they're with Valachev.
Which I'm assuming with Valachev.
I feel like IFPs with the new make them tough guys are just the no knockdown guys are just better.
Sure.
I actually like
Boomhollers with all that nonsense.
I like Boomhollers with Butcher.
Who has Iron Flesh?
Butcher one.
Both.
Both of them have Iron Flesh.
Butcher still has it.
I'm just saying, Irisk
or Butcher.
Iron Flesh stacked with Rage Howl can make those guys nigh unhittable by Jackson Beasts.
Exactly. They're good. I mean, Boomhollers in almost every faction are good. So just get Boomhollers.
Yeah. I wish they did for Rhett.
Too bad.
Yeah. Too bad. So sad.
Sucks to be you. Yeah. Zappity.
Grumble. Pork?
Yes.
Noun or verb?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Really depends how close to dinner time it is.
It also depends if you live in the 80s.
I do like that fuck is every part of speech. There is no way that you cannot correctly use the word fuck. It's also an infix, not just prefix or suffix. You can use it in the middle of words and it's grammatically correct.
Yeah.
Un-fucking believable is grammatically correct. Zappity.
Grumble.
Fuckity.
Alexander Baus asks, where is my t-shirt, angry German fan?
That's the German guy.
He should send me money. I talked to him. We need to sign a shirt for him, but he also has to. He told me he needs to get a PayPal account. And then once he gets his PayPal account and then sends me the $1 million that I asked for, I'll give Nathan a shirt, and then Nathan will mail it off someday.
I feel like if you're going to get $1 million, though, then all of a sudden I want to be interested in the accounting for the t-shirts.
Well, we're going to... I know your math skills. You're not an accountant we'd hire.
I'm really good in Excel.
Okay.
I'll just put it in Excel.
I remember you telling me a story about how like some company like just like millions of dollars disappeared, and you're like, yeah, but it wasn't real money, so it doesn't really count.
It wasn't real money.
Yeah. Like, their bank account said one thing, and then it was just a whole bunch of money less, but it wasn't real money anyway.
No, it's not.
You don't have to burn physical bills for it to be real money.
No, it was like it didn't exist.
Not anymore, it didn't.
Their account receivable did a thing with the thing.
When
and
you
then
do your cash flow statement, you pull it out.
Right? So where'd it go?
It doesn't exist. It's not real money.
But it's there in your account. Your account says, like,
it's
if my
not
account
an account. It's not an account. When you're doing your income statement and you say, these are all my expenses, and you get to your profit line.
Right.
That's one financial statement.
Yeah. And then the money's not there
and
anymore.
And then you do a cash flow statement and you back out anything that wasn't actually money.
That
was an expense, but it wasn't actually. No money went out the door for it.
I don't know. I think that sounds like something that gets you arrested. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, you better call Saul.
Yes. Oh, I am happy I found out that's a prequel.
Yes.
So it doesn't spoil anything about what could or could not happen. Also, there are certain characters that are no longer on Breaking Bad due to retirements and whatnot, and those people could hypothetically be in the prequel. And
Zappity.
I'm excited.
Retirements. I want to cut you off for that. So
I wasn't spoiling Grumble.
Yeah. Why are Milwaukee people in general better than those from Madison?
Who said that?
That's true.
Who has
that?
That
is OBJ Ticknobi.
I
know who it is.
Better at what? Did he specify what are they better at?
I will agree that there might be something that people from Milwaukee are better at than Madison. I don't know what it is. I haven't experienced it yet, but there might be something.
I was born in Milwaukee, so which side of this debacle am I on?
You were better at leaving Milwaukee.
That is true. That is true.
You have decided to stay in Madison.
I was born in a very, very bad part of Milwaukee. Like, my house is like a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. Like it's a nice house, front and backyard, et cetera, et cetera. And it went on sale a few years ago, and we looked at it, it was like $20,000. Because it's just like, if you live here, you will die in a drive-by shooting. It's just guaranteed.
I'm confused, because you said bad part.
No, this was like the baddest part of Milwaukee. It's like, it is to Milwaukee what Milwaukee is to Wisconsin.
Is it Detroit? Wow. Is to
Yeah, it is the Detroit of Milwaukee.
Wow.
Wow.
5335 North 38th Street, if anybody wants to drive by and die, but you can go look at my childhood home.
Yeah, OCP owns part of that.
Yeah, exactly. Zap it.
So, yeah, there's an
answer. There's a what?
That was a good answer.
Yeah.
In the light of Morvana 2 being too good, if you had to pick one of the following, which would you pick? In a stagnant meta where the top tier casters never seem to ship, but dark horses could occasionally surprise. A dynamic meta where new releases dominate. I don't actually pay attention to the meta. I play pigs and Searforge.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
So stagnant meta where new releases don't shake things up, or a meta where the new releases, like...
New releases dominate, basically the GW effect.
Yeah, I don't want B.
B is awful, but...
And A doesn't have to be stagnant.
Yeah, ignoring... Exactly. What Brian's saying, ignoring B... preventing B doesn't have to mean A. You can change things around...
I think it's pigeonholed.
Magic the Gathering is a good example of a system where they manage to make the game different, and it's not necessarily power creep.
But they have to cheat because they have to let the old stuff drop off.
They do, and then that is cheating.
And you can't do that here because you can't just have long gunners no longer field.
I'm aware, but like there are systems that manage to do it. It's not easy, but it's doable.
Yeah, you have to. It's very dangerous, and people who, like, I was reading a thread and somebody said, like, oh, Privateer Press doesn't even try to make things balance. It's like, fuck
you. That's just not true.
You know how hard it is to make the game as balanced as it is. Yeah. Like, there's shit that's broken, and I don't begrudge them too much because I'm impressed that there isn't way more stuff that's broken.
Yeah.
You know, but things like new UAs, like alternate UAs, like the Iron Fang Pikemen, yep. Things like that can be new and change things around without having to be strictly better than old things.
Yeah. Correct.
Paris 3 is a good example.
Yeah.
Like, Eris 3 is great, but she's not necessarily better than a Major Strike Force Commander.
Right.
The Black Dragons are solid. Yeah. They're not exactly much better. They're kind of equal to what the original Pikemen are. The Silverline, Storm Noun.
Yeah.
The new Polarity Shield guys.
Yeah. And they're pretty solid too. I mean, it's I like the little subtle changes like that. You know, where just adding.
It is tough to add a new caster and not have it be broken or insignificant at a tournament format. Like, it just is.
Yes.
That is hard. I would agree with them.
Yeah.
But I think that they've done it with a lot of releases. Like,
the best Crick stuff is the earlier stuff. I mean, yeah. I mean, ignoring the fact that Crix haven't got a model in 12 months.
Well, right.
That's
because Crix is in a place right now where giving them anything that's not just, I clearly don't want to play that, is really hard to do without making them.
But, like, you know, your PDNA, everything, when Prime 2, when Mark 2 came out, the Crix's best stuff came out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they still get good stuff in some ways, Sea Hags and things like that.
Privateer is going to paint themselves into a corner, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next year, but eventually.
Yeah, I worry if they about don't 10 go to Mark years 3, from now how bloated it's going
to
be.
If they don't go to a Mark 3, they're going to paint themselves into a corner. Because when you're not allowed to retire anything, like, it's really hard to release something that's impactful but not broken. Like, it's really, really hard. And it gets harder every year.
Well, yeah, it's a giant puzzle. And, you know, as you're adding more pieces to that puzzle, it's hard to keep things...
Yeah.
In line. So.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, like, if they had it to do over again, would Mage Hunter Strike Force exist? Probably not. Because they accidentally painted themselves into a horrible corner with what they could let out in Rhett. And I get that.
That's not that bad. The only corner they painted themselves in is that their casters can't have buffs. Oh, well. That's just going
to
be
It's not just that. They have to be really careful about not just buffs, but they have to be careful about anything that could make their other infantry better. It was almost definitely just better. It's like the Searforge dilemma. Anything that's good in Searforge is just playing better in Highborn.
Okay.
Anything that's good on any other infantry in Rhett is almost going to be better unless it's a straight melee buff on Matron Strike Force. Like, any kind of shooting buff.
Wait, I'm confused. You said not just buffs, but anything that makes them better. Isn't that a buff?
A feat that pulls things into range, a feat that... Like, there are a lot of things they can't do that aren't even
just
strictly
buffs. They can't do debuff things.
They can't debuff things because it'll just end them. Yeah, like... There's lots of things they can't do with Rhett. And I love Mage Hunter Strike Force. I love Rhett the way they are. But it's a design space constriction having Mage Hunter Strike Force in the factory.
You could just call them done.
No.
Yeah.
Yep.
No. Just lock them off like Convergence.
Oh, yep. God.
Rhett's finished.
No. I'm hoping that new caster breaks them wide open. It'll be amazing. But that's what they're afraid of. That's why Rhett hasn't had a broken breakout thing, because they're really afraid they'll accidentally just make the faction just...
Yeah.
We have
balls something like Ossian.
Ton more questions.
Yeah. So all shut
right.
up.
All right. Go ahead.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Come on, real lightning here, people. Lightning. Zoom, zoom, zoom.
I think this is a... Would you like to see team tournaments in America follow the WTC format? I don't know it, but sure.
Well, and it's a complex system where you...
It's super complex. I think seeing it some would be nice.
Maybe like once or twice a year, but it's way too advanced and complex to do that often.
Yeah.
I like just the twin casters. That's my version of a team tourney.
Okay. Awesome.
I don't know, WTC.
Oh, isn't the WT? Oh, so the team format, that's basically like the three commanders that they do at like Gen Con.
That's you're picking an opponent, and they pick, it's all this back and forth pick. It's a lot of team selection.
Yeah, like you play individual games, but you are a part of a team where, you know, if I win and Jeremy wins and you lose, our team got two wins of that round. Yeah.
Okay. I do like it, but not often.
Team tournaments.
It'd be interesting to see. I think that would be something fun to.
Maybe once a year, not a standard thing.
No.
Right.
Sir, I want to play two caster lists more, but it's just such a pain to do.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Zappity.
Grumble. I think this is a loaded question because it doesn't make sense, but which Martian from Mars Attacks would you like to be? It's hard to think of any because they're all fucking the same.
No. Yeah, I would want to be the
leader ones, and then there's everyone else.
I like the Do Not Run, We Are Your Friends guy.
Oh, damn
it. I would want to pilot one of the giant robots.
Yeah,
they have such fun.
They
enjoy their job.
They do.
If that was your job to go and destroy and invade a planet, would you not have fun doing it?
I just love that, you know, they have a good time of it. They play bowling on Easter Island. They pose with the Taj Mahal. They have sex with Martin Short.
Would you consider them as some of their actions being war crimes?
Some of them?
Because
well, we're a lesser species in their mind. It'd be like we're not conscious being, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would be like committing war crimes against chimpanzees.
Yeah, it's more like animal abuse than war crimes.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Grumble. The Riddler, great villain or greatest villain?
Normal dude who gives away his crime?
Yeah. I mean, maybe they'll do a new Riddler that's amazing, but I mean,
I don't think he meant.
I'm just saying the way I've seen of the Riddler thus far, I'm not super impressed.
All right,
he can't be cool.
I'm just afraid you're basing everything on like Jim Carrey.
Yeah, he's one of those characters where if there's 50 different Riddler stories out there in the BC mythos, that 25 of them are going to be amazing and 25 of them are going to be awful. The writer needs to know what to do with them to make them interesting.
I don't understand.
Because in bad hands, he's just a normal dude who gives away his crime ahead of time. And that's a weakness, not a gimmick. Yeah. But in good hands, he's interesting and cunning and tricky.
I don't understand why he would feel the need to give clues about what he's doing.
It's
a cat toying with a mouse. He's toying with Batman because he knows that Batman can't catch him because he's that super smart. He knows that he could just go do a crime and get away with it. And if you get away with it without getting caught, no one knows you did it. So there's no.
Because like they've done this like, in like Psych, they had one where it wasn't the Riddler, but it was the.
The reoccurring villain guy from
the reoccurring villain guy, and I never liked those episodes because I don't know. But
the problem with the perfect crime is that you don't get to take credit for it. That's always been the catch, is that if you get away scot-free, no one knows what an amazing job you did. And so there's this compulsion to then tell people about it. And people who would have gotten away scot-free with crimes get caught because of this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. They, you know, especially the thing that happens a lot is somebody will go to jail, you know, they'll kill a dude, and then they'll go to jail for, like, having drugs or something, because they're normally, you know, somebody like that. And then they'll tell their inmate, yeah, I got away with killing this guy. And then the inmate rats on him to get less time, and it happens all the time. And he's just doing that preemptively.
Yep.
He's like, I know that I could get away with this, but it's more fun if I get away with it after telling him what I'm going to do. And that's an interesting psychological thing in the hands of a good writer. It's shitty in the hands of Jim Carrey.
My concern is that in order to make him at all a good villain, they have to give him near clairvoyance. And I don't usually...
Every villain's near clairvoyant. I mean, look at the Joker in Batman in The Dark Knight.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
Come on. I mean, that's insane clairvoyance. Like, all the traps he sets up, all the schemes he sets up, that's insane clairvoyance. And it's always like that. So it's no different for the Riddler. It's just that he tells them he's clairvoyant ahead of time.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Crumble.
19 minutes.
Yeah. Star Command or Faster Than Light?
What?
Star Command or Faster Than Light?
Oh, FTL, the PC game?
Yeah, FTL.
That game's a blast.
It is ridiculously fun.
I have yet to play it.
I've yet to beat it.
I know I need to, but yeah. It's a game I'll be adding. I'll add. So that was your answer?
The Shays don't know it.
I don't actually know them.
FTL's awesome. Star Command's good, but FTL's awesome.
All right.
Zappity.
Grumble. And OBJ to Kenobi says that Riddler is a Riddler blows. He's a terrible villain.
Yeah, but that guy says Milwaukee's great, so fuck that guy.
Yeah,
boom.
I'm going to save this one here. I'm going to put this in the bucket for you guys. Often comment about the problems the game had before Mark II rules were introduced. How did you overcome them to become as popular? How did it overcome them to be as popular as it is today, especially since it did so in the shadow of the Games Workshop products? I think that's a good topic that we should have for a later time.
Yeah.
So all right, we can talk about that next week.
Any board games you enjoy that a mirror, like Dresden-like theme?
A Dresden theme? I haven't seen a Dresden
There's a
theme.
Great Dresden role-playing game that's not a board game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that. I haven't played it, but I...
It's not Dresden theme, but it's kind of similar because it's the detectives battling against supernatural things, but...
Arkham Horror?
Arkham Horror. You know, I mean, Arkham Horror is you literally go and find clues so you can fight monsters. It's Lovecraft theme, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are the latest Dresden books.
Yeah,
so.
That's kind of true.
All right.
Zappity!
Rumble! What is your favorite terrible story from the Muse Crew? And that's from Stu. And unfortunately, I have all the news because I was at the campfire.
Terrible story from the news from the Muse crew?
Yeah. Well, actually, more so just about John. I have all of them in my head. I'm not going to repeat them.
I don't have any terrible John stories. John's a wonderful person.
He's a good human being.
I was at the campfire. And yeah, there's... I'll have to say things off air.
I don't know what he's talking about. Either, okay. I don't know what campfire.
I was at the campfire last night after the fucking wedding.
Oh. I didn't know there was a campfire.
Yeah, there was a campfire.
Wait, okay. There's a campfire?
Fucking A.
Where was that at? If they would have said come to a wedding and a campfire, maybe I would have bothered coming. But no, you left the campfire out.
I feel
fuck
like
you guys.
Campfire is the opposite of anything you'd be interested in.
Oh, you're correct. I'm sorry. I forgot I was Brian.
So your point is there were many stories about John at the campfire, so
I'm not going to say him on air, but
they got married on fire?
No.
At a camp?
No.
Is that where all his hair went?
Most of my favorite John stories are just him being trolled. Like Charles Foster the Third. I almost said Charles Foster Kane. Yeah. Charles Foster the person whose wedding it was, the hiring the 12-year-old girls.
That was amazing.
Yes.
I have another interesting. But anyway.
Moving on.
It's fine. Yeah, I have many entertaining stories, but I'm not going to say them on the air.
I'm not going to tell you my stories either.
Are there more questions?
We have more, so.
Okay, Zappy.
Grumble. Is Canada evil?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Except not evil. They're the annoying younger brother. You know, in America, we love Canada, but they're the annoying younger brother.
No one's just that nice. They have to be evil.
Yeah. Also, come on, grow some balls. Secede already. Like, you still have the queen on your money.
Canadian bacon? Don't even try.
That's ham. Yeah. You're not fooling anybody. That's ham.
Yeah, that's not bacon.
Grow up, secede, call it ham, and give us your maple syrup. Zappity.
Grumble. Favorite list to run scoring with? That's a topic that we should talk about elsewhere.
Yeah, it's not a Zappity.
Zappity Grumble.
If you can get the Arcanons for 30, or not the, if you can get the Animatrixes for $30, that theme force is good.
Yes. I'm like, look, I could buy something I never. Yeah, I saw that deal. I'm like, wow, it's a great deal. I'm not going to take advantage of it. That could have been a $5 mall. I went on and bought it. I own one. Anyway,
it looks pretty.
It does. Right,
the other Zappity.
The other one, I already did that.
Grumble.
I just Zappity Grumble.
Grumbledy.
Bazinga.
Riddle me this, Batman.
Worst thing about not podcasting with Menoth John.
What comes after Zappa C?
Welcome to episode 39. Wait, no. Worst thing. Menoth John keeps things focused. He actually does good callback. He has good callback.
That's professional podcasting.
He does. He's a professional podcaster. He does actually a good job at that kind of stuff. I'm like, wow. He kept the podcast felt a little bit more focused because of him last week. Yeah. And when he's been on in the past, he does that. He does a little bit of he understands. So well.
Also, if you sit next to him in podcasting, he gives a mean handy.
Nice.
Well, I'm
it's
just
a
saying.
Rough is what you're saying.
Oh yeah.
So you're saying the worst thing is not getting a handy from John.
Yeah.
During a podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Zappity.
Grumble.
And the final question here is: how much fun did the rest of the cast miss out on by not making it to the wedding?
Who was that?
A lot. I actually like campfires.
I love weddings. I was legit so sad I couldn't go. I really, really wanted to go.
I got over it.
I actually tried to browbeat Andy into not going on Friday just so I could go with him, but he was really at his heart set to go down on Friday. And I'm assuming you had fun on Friday.
Yeah.
I assume you had enough fun that it was worth me not ever being able to remember going to that wedding.
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
It was. I mean, sure, we got to play a bunch of games on Friday night, and then on Saturday we... You could have came with.
Not on Friday, couldn't.
You could have left really close.
You could have left really behind.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, could've. Listen, people. Come on now.
You could have.
Yeah. And the good news is then I could have done anything I wanted because I would have been single.
To be, yeah, when I had first talked to those guys, I was told that Friday night was a no-go. And then because I asked about Friday, and originally it was a no-go. So then that was part of why I backed out, because I thought if I could have a lot of fun Friday night and play some more games. And then by the time I backed out, then they had rechanged their mind and opened up Friday night back up. Yeah, but by that time, I was out.
It still wasn't on time. I mean, they underestimated how much time it would take to do the reception or the rehearsal.
They always do. Yeah.
So they weren't there until about 9 o'clock. We were there until pretty late, until like about 12, 1
yeah.
o'clock
yeah,
in the
so
morning.
By the time they got out of the rehearsal, Brian would have been in bed.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what I would thought anyway. Yeah. Although, I mean, when it comes to board games, I do stuff later, but then it'd be like, you know, figuring out what games to play. And
I'm sad because I'm an ugly, ugly man, and I have a three-piece suit that I think I look reasonably attractive in, so I was going to wear
that. You're going to wear a... Man, I was not going to wear a suit.
Any excuse to wear a suit, I will wear that damn thing.
Stu is there.
Stu?
Stu missed you.
Aw.
Yep.
Missed you in your suit.
Yeah. It was pretty fun. I mean, it was short. I mean, the best part about the whole thing was when they went down... when the bride marched down, they were playing the Final Fantasy X theme music.
Nice.
And then as they kissed, they played the fanfare.
Of course they did.
Yep. which was awesome, because and as they were walking out, playing the theme music for the Game of Thrones.
Nice.
So, I mean, it was a non-traditional in
the. They should have played the Rings of Castamere. They should have the.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I was at, when they first heard about it, I was asking, it's like, I hope there's not a red wedding scene tonight. It's like, I look very, very much like a Stark. I'm probably gonna die.
Spoilers.
Yeah, but no, it was pretty solid. We got to see Colin. Oh my God. So you guys know the Dollar Dance, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are they Mexican? Dollar Dance is usually a Mexican tradition.
It's become a thing.
It's become a thing.
Yeah. And they made it like a 20 dance because a dollar doesn't buy you dick all anymore.
Well, usually like your grandma or something gives you like $50 or something.
So the Dollar Dance, Colin got the DJ to pop in Baby Got Back.
Nice.
And he danced with Charles.
Nice.
And he was twerking on Charles. So if you can imagine Colin, you know.
Oh, I can.
Big Colin.
I'd rather
that.
Not.
It is, well.
I'd still rather that than Miley Cyrus in that gold plastic whatever the hell she was wearing.
Too bad, because it is videotaped by like 18 other people.
Yes.
And it is going up on Facebook or YouTube. So that is, unless it will cost Charlie his job.
He wasn't twerking.
No, he wasn't. It was a little more shocking, but it was pretty entertaining. Overall, it was short. It was sweet. It didn't go until like 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, the campfire stuff went into 1 o'clock in the morning.
So it did go to 1 o'clock in the morning.
But the wedding didn't.
The wedding,
after party. You got your party and you got your after party.
And usually the after party didn't start until like 11:30.
Yeah, that's true.
I will say this, though, is I was going to end up staying over at somebody's place there. As the campfire thing winded down, I looked at a clock. I thought it said like 12:30, and I'm like, I could just drive home. And then I got into my car. I started driving. I was about 20 minutes into my drive. I looked down at the clock. It was like 3 o'clock. I'm like, oh, shit.
You looked at the wrong hands.
I looked at the wrong hands.
Or something.
I thought it was much earlier. So I ended up driving for like an hour and a half and then sleeping. And I woke up and then I drove for another hour. And I'm like, I'm still tired. So I went back to sleep. And then
you just put cruise control on and kind of. It's Illinois. You could just wedge something in the steering wheel.
The fucking roads never turn there. So
that's
I'm just
what I'm saying.
Go straight, yeah.
Yeah.
But I
and it wakes you up. If you start to veer off, you just start hitting corn stalks and it wakes you up and you just go back
it's
on
a
the
soft
road.
Landing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ended up making it back into Madison about 5 minutes to noon so I could watch the Packer game.
Nice. Yeah. Unfortunate.
Yeah, unfortunate, but it was worth it. It was fine. Overall, it was a good time. I wish you guys would have been able to make it, but.
Yeah, right.
Things
cool.
happen.
Things
which
do.
Sucks.
Cars mostly. Cars suck.
Yeah.
Well, they're so expensive every single time. Like, they ruin so many plans when they break down.
Yeah.
Moving on.
You keep talking, and that keeps being time that's almost Breaking Bad.
Recommendations? I recommend mine's done already. Kingdom Hearts 1.5.
I recommend people posting more recipes about food on Facebook.
Unless wah-wah-wah. Was that recorded in the wah-wah-wah nonsense?
No, I don't think it was.
No, but oh. Yeah. Stop
being a little bitch
Facebook
on Facebook.
In general. Nobody gives a shit. You know,
are you having
about
a bad
you?
Day? Good for you.
I want recipes. I want silly funny video. Anecdotes.
Funny
I want
videos.
Funny videos. I want the little comics. That's all I want.
If you're sad, you know, write a Facebook is not your diary.
Or even if there's like, at least be something like, man, my leg just fell off and that sucks. Okay, good for you. I hate the ones who's like, man, my day was bad. Okay. Bye. Like, either say it or don't say it. Yeah.
Oh,
attention-seeking whine.
Pictures of babies are okay in my book, too.
Only if they're your baby.
Well, if they're, like,
new. To be fair, that
like
one guy I know posts a lot of pictures of children, but I'm not really sure where he's he is single. He doesn't have any. He's not. Because I'm like, I don't know what's going on with his day. But he has quite the library. And it's always from the bushes.
The bushes. And it's also got the crosshairs on it.
Yeah. And he did just buy a van recently. I don't know. He was doing some work on it.
All right. Weird. Sorry, so Brian and Katie are done?
Yeah.
Nathan, go.
I'm going to recommend an old school game, 1992 PC RPG called Darklands by MicroProse. You can actually get it on Good Old Games, which is also just an amazing flat-out recommendation, but it's GOG.com. You can get it for like $6. It is Baldur's Gate before Baldur's Gate was a thing. It's a four-person party. You start, you do adventuring. It's cool that there's no class systems. Everybody is just their own individuals. It takes place in 15th century Germany, but it has fantasy things in there, like all the myths, like werewolves and dragons and everything, but very subtle magic, very subtle alchemy. The plot is very subtle. It's very complicated, so if you want super complicated, there's no time limit. You can literally play that game. Your characters will die of old age. Like, the characters age during the game, and like when you do character creation, the older you make them, the more skills they have. But you can literally just go to sleep one night at the end, and you wake up, and your alchemist just died of old age. So you just have to make a new character and hire him at the end. So if you've never played it, it's fucking amazing. You should spend the $6. I actually have stolen a How to Get Started guide, because it's so complicated, you start and you have no clue what to do, that I will post on the Muse forum.
Some of the old games you have to do. I've actually got some games off of Good Old Games, but some of those old games, the interface.
There's just no
so
guidance
bad.
To Well, the interface on this one at least is just mouse click, you know, click on things. The interface is... Graphics are poor, but the interface is almost identical to what it would be now. But
God damn it.
The game doesn't tell you what you're doing. Like, one of the great things, like, if somebody gives you a quest and they're like, go do this thing, they don't tell you where
to
go.
To pee.
Good for you! Okay, never mind. Go on. Andy, do your thing.
No.
Okay, there you go. Brian left. Jeremy, what's your recommendation?
My recommendation is actually we dogged on a game over Gen Con, but it actually was pretty good when you play it by the rules, as it turns out, called Power Grid. It was actually when we played it by the rules, I enjoyed it. We played it four player. I'm not sure it works other numbers, because when we played it with more, it definitely did not work. And I don't know how much of that was the rules and how much that was playing six player. But I enjoyed it four player. It was fun. It's good simple mechanic game.
It's still overrated shit. Andy, do you have a recommendation?
My quick recommendation is Mutant Football League. You need to go out and support it, because it is an awesome game from the 90s. It is built in the same style as like Madden from then time. It's an incredibly violent game with skeletons, zombies, ghouls, everything, fighting, playing football. And it's an entertaining game. It's on a Kickstarter right now, and it's doing very poorly on the Kickstarter. It's so sad.
So
but it is a game that needs and deserves a remake. A modern day.
I'm going to finish my sentence from before. Once somebody gives you a quest, they never again tell you where the quest is, what the quest is. You can never talk to that person again about the quest until you're done with it and go to turn it in. So if you don't write that thing down on an actual physical piece of paper that you pinned to the board next to your desk, you're fucked, because this game was in 1992 and it's not going to hold your hand.
A lot of old games. I had notebooks for old games.
Yes. Oh yeah, I used to get graph paper and like write out maps and shit. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
yeah. It was a lot more work just getting those things prepared. Yeah.
I just love that. Like, I talked to somebody, and I clicked the advanced text button one too many times, so I missed what the actual quest is, and he's like, now go do that, and I'm like, well, fuck. Because you can't say, what was that again? Because the game just is, the option to talk to him is gone until you're turning in the quest. So I don't know what that quest
is. You have a quest.
Save my daughter.
Never
turn
it in.
Just killed.
Doesn't matter. Fuck that guy.
All right.
And now Andy left, so nobody's here to press the stop button. So let's just wander out of the room.
Turn the power.
I'm not going to risk it.
Yeah, I'll let Andy cut it off rather than possibly break it.
I have stuck in my chair.
Go ahead, Andy. We didn't stop it because we didn't want to accidentally delete the recording.
Oh, that would be bad.
That would be super lame.